4 years ago, I talked about the shepherd-hearted aspect of the love of Jesus, and it's time to revisit that theme again. And we're going to do it from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 1 of John, chapter 10, starts with, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." In this chapter, Jesus is having a discourse with the Pharisees, and that's how this part of it begins. But what is Jesus talking about? And why is he saying it to them? Well, let's explore these questions, and as we do, we're going to contemplate some of the most rich, most meaningful, most comforting verses in the entire Bible. Verses that let us peer through a window and give us a view into both the heart of Jesus and the very nature of our relationship with him. Speaking figuratively, we will have the privilege to tread over some of the most lovely ground and follow in the very footsteps of the Good Shepherd and his beloved flock. In this discourse, in John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to a mixed crowd of listeners, some disciples, some curious onlookers, and most specifically, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees. As we've explored in previous messages, the Pharisees were the spiritual leaders of the day, spiritual leaders who were known for their love of money and their love of the honor, respect, and power that their position gave them. They were supposed to be shepherds of God's flock. True, they were happy to drive the sheep, to fleece the sheep, even to abuse the sheep. But they didn't truly care for the sheep. And Jesus comes along, and he's very popular because he cares for people. He heals people. He loves people, which is in stark contrast to the Pharisees. And Jesus has some very important things to say to these Pharisees and to us as well. In this discourse, he uses two illustrations about himself to help everyone understand who he is and what he's called to do. The first illustration or metaphor is that of a gate. He's saying that he's the gate for the flock of God. The purpose of a gate is to let the right people in and to keep the wrong people out, so that the flock remains safe and properly cared for, because the flock is precious to Jesus. The second illustration is that of a shepherd, and that's the one I want to focus on today. Now, this intimate shepherd-sheep relationship is from another time and another place, far from most anything we know. But Jesus lived in a pastoral society, and his message resonated with the people of his day. These things he's describing about the shepherd-sheep relationship were all commonly witnessed by his audience. So let's follow Jesus' train of thought. Verse 2, he says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls them by name, note that, and leads them out. Note that also. Verse 4, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." He goes on ahead of them, and they follow. This is all very important. He goes ahead, he calls them, he leads them, they follow. Verse 5, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Well, this is very important that we get the right picture here, the right understanding of the shepherd-sheep relationship, because Jesus is calling himself a shepherd, and he's calling us his flock. So if we misunderstand the relationship that Jesus is describing, it's going to do damage to our relationship with God, especially since what he's describing is very foreign to us. In the Western world we grew up in, the shepherd-sheep relationship is very different from what's described here. I know that because I grew up on a sheep ranch. Other than in rare exceptions, in the Western world, a shepherd would not call and lead his sheep, but rather he would drive the sheep from behind. The shepherd would have his sheepdog with him, usually a border collie, and he would position himself at the very opposite end of wherever he wanted the sheep to go. And then he'd start making noise, maybe even waving his arms, because what propels the sheep forward is fear of the shepherd and what the shepherd might do. And what keeps the flock together is the sheepdog, who the sheep fear even more than the shepherd, because the sheepdog will nip them with his teeth. So if the sheep are not going in the right direction, or they're not staying together, the shepherd sends the sheepdog on around the flock. The sheep on the outer edges of the flock then run from the sheepdog toward the main body of the flock, and so they stay bunched together and moving in the direction the shepherd wants them to go. Fear compels the sheep. That's the Western world's model of herding sheep. But in the Middle East, especially during the time of Jesus, the relationship of sheep and shepherd was so different, so opposite. It was a relationship based on trust and familiarity. The shepherd lived with the flock and was intimately acquainted with each lamb. So much so that many flocks could be gathered together at a watering hole or stream, all mingled together. But when the time of parting came, each shepherd would set out for home in a different direction. Each shepherd would have his own distinct call. As he walked, he called, and as he called, the sheep that belonged to that shepherd would follow that familiar call, that familiar voice. And if you witnessed it, you could see lines of sheep going out in all different directions, each sheep following their trusted shepherd. And see how important it is to understand the difference. Because if we have a Western world idea of the shepherd-sheep relationship, and we hear that Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep, well, that's not particularly good news. But in Jesus' day, in Jesus' culture, trust, dependence, and familiarity moved the sheep from pasture to pasture, not fear. I don't know if sheep love like humans do. If so, they loved their shepherd. There certainly was affection and familiarity and dependence. In the Western world, you can call the sheep all you want. They might even know your voice, but those sheep aren't going to come. Unless maybe you have some hay in your hand, and even then they won't get too close. They keep their distance. They won't let you touch them. Unless you've gained their trust by a close personal relationship. Shepherds in the old world loved their lambs much like we love our precious pets today. So when Jesus talks of shepherd and sheep, think of how you love and protect and care for your beloved pets. That's more what it's like. Next, Jesus says something so profound. Verse 10. First, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." In this verse, Jesus is describing the Pharisees and their ministry to God's people. That's what the Pharisees have been doing with their self-importance and pride, their harsh treatment of the flock of God, stealing, killing, destroying. But in contrast, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." What a contrast. Life. Fullness of life. Jesus has fullness of life, and he came to give that fullness of life to all who would come to him. Because life and life to the full is and always has been in God. And Jesus is the great reconciler between God and mankind. The Pharisees were supposed to be leading people to the heart of God. And instead, they've been driving them far from him. And Jesus comes to bring people back to the heart of God. The Pharisees brought death. Jesus brings life. And the Pharisees do everything they can to keep the people from Jesus and Jesus from the people, because if the people have Jesus, they won't need the Pharisees. Not only will they not need the Pharisees, they will run from them. And the Pharisees will lose their power over the people and their control of the people and the money of the people and the honor of the people, all of which they crave and thrive on. Then verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Look, there is that little word there, "for." And that little word means everything. Packed into that little word "for" is the love of the ages, an everlasting love, the greatest love story ever told. Because it shows us that Jesus didn't lay down his life for the cosmos or the distant worlds or even for the angels. He laid down his life for the flock, his beloved sheep, his precious lambs. He laid down his life for you and me. Jesus had said, "No one has greater love than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." That's John 15:13. And that's just what Jesus did. No matter how unimportant we might think ourselves to be, we are precious to this good shepherd. Precious enough to die for. So let's let his shepherd-hearted love bring us back to the heart of God. "I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, and time for me will be no more, guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom, dear Lord, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be."